Hello and welcome to the FinTech Newscast. My name's John, and this week we have a very special episode, an interview with Mark Gazit, cybersecurity expert and CEO of ThetaRay, a cybersecurity and big data analytics company, here to talk with us about cybersecurity and the effects of COVID-19. Please hit subscribe to keep up with this and the latest in FinTech news. All right, we have a great episode this week, and joining me is my co-host, Steve.
Hey, John, good to be here on the phone.
Yeah, glad we're practicing, of course, social distancing these days, so we're all on the line. And joining us is Mark Gazit, CEO of ThetaRay. How are you doing, Mark?
Great. And John, Steve, great to meet you. And obviously, the world is becoming extremely, extremely interesting, especially people who deal with FinTech and cyber.
Yeah, right. You must be very busy these days. What is ThetaRay all about?
So we are a very interesting combination of FinTech, cyber, and artificial intelligence. And we use a very deep level of artificial intelligence. It was developed by probably the best professors in the world, I should say. And I will tell more about them. An ability for a computer to almost like mimic human intuition, to behave like a very experienced cybersecurity expert or investigator. And we use this ability to help very large organizations to protect themselves against a potentially catastrophic cybersecurity attacks. If we talk about the world of financial services, we help the largest banks in the world to identify a massive fraud event, money laundering, terrorist funding activities, human trafficking activities, narco traffic. And obviously, we all understand that these days, even the pre-COVID-19 situation, but especially now, most of those crimes are happening in the cyber domain.
Do you see people trying to take advantage of the current crisis?
Oh, definitely, definitely. You know, if we move a little bit to the past, we could see that there were crises, and we all know that in a situation or in a state of crisis, unfortunately, crime raises its ugly head. And, you know, criminals, so there are more criminals. Some people might say because of necessity, some people say because of the opportunity or the chaos. But there is something very different about this current crisis, and it's not only the fact that it's an epidemic or pandemic versus financial crisis. What's happening in addition to that is the world of financial services now is basically a digital one. It exists in the cyber domain. So historically, a crime was coming to a branch of a bank and threatened the clerks to shoot them up. And it happened during the crises more than it happened before. Today, I guess only in Hollywood movies you can see people that come to a branch of a bank and start threatening. Today it's much easier.
And all that stuff, yeah.
Exactly. Today, everything is connected. So you can be in a totally different country, and you can attack U.S. banks. And by the way, now, due to the COVID-19 situation, and we already see it as we speak, it becomes much easier for bad guys to hurt organizations. Because everything is done remotely anyway, but the ability to do physical authentication of a person doesn't exist anymore. You cannot tell your customer today, oh, you really need to find a way, maybe in a day or two, to come to a branch and show me your driver's license. You just cannot do it. People will not be able to do it. Everything is under lockdown. And second one is employees. Now, I know that certain departments could work from home like half of the time historically. But, you know, some positions, tellers, etc., used to do it when they are in the branch. Today, employees have to work from home using VPNs, and obviously they became a very easy prey for phishing attacks, CEO impersonation attacks. We'll talk about a few and go over a few examples, and then maybe we'll talk about how to solve it. But as you can see, these bad guys are extremely, extremely, extremely creative. They are very fast movers, and because everything is connected, it's almost zero risk.
This is really interesting. So, Mark, can you give us examples of maybe the types of tactics that you're seeing that these criminals are undertaking now to take advantage of the crisis?
Okay, of course. And we can basically divide it into two sort of groups. One group is consumer, or it's a fraud that targets consumers. So, of course, we all hear about attempts to sell fake materials that allegedly can help you to deal with coronavirus situations. We all hear about criminals that call you and say that it's actually CDC's calling or World Health Organization. And then they use this information basically to try and to steal money from your bank account or to lure you to transfer some money to them. So that's the first part. And I think that people should be really careful about it because it's happening more and more. Actually, the bad guys are pretty creative because they do what they call multi-channel fraud. So it's not just you getting an email, and if you didn't get an email, then it usually can be a fraud. But then they will tell you, you know, maybe you should sort of go to our website and check and then call me back. And then you go to the website that they gave you that sounds like CDC and looks like CDC, but maybe the name will be CDC19 or something like that. And then you call back the number that is there. And then you speak with a real person and they collect your information. And because of the what they call WebInt or OSINT, Open Source Intelligence and Web Intelligence, as opposed to human, which is human intelligence, they will have a lot of information for about you anyway. And then you give the information, then they steal the money. And the second group is attacks that basically target banks and banking employees and try to lure them into do things that will allow bad guys to get more massive data.
Yeah, I'm surprised at how creative these attacks get. I just read about some guy in Los Angeles who was trying to raise money to market his cure for the coronavirus. And I guess he wasn't very good. He got arrested right away, but he said he needed to raise investment money so he could produce it.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, people say, people often ask, how does it happen? Like, okay, these guys are smart guys. And if this is a one person, then it's okay. But what really makes banks more concerned these days, and we hear from our customers, is actually systemic fraud. It's a situation where today, using the fact that it's much easier to sort of circumvent existing systems, somebody builds a system that uses very sort of limited artificial intelligence abilities, and the system tries to steal 25 cents from a bank account. Even if they think that it's a fraud for 25 cents, they will do nothing. But they do it hundreds of millions of times. Now they do it automatically and they do it autonomously. And then they can easily, within a week, to get $5-6 million. They're not greedy. They will disconnect the link and disappear. And if it happens in a different country, ability to indict somebody almost doesn't exist. And often people say, how can it happen? Like banks should have all the tools and systems and technology and big data analytics, etc.
Right.
But it happens, and I guess for you, for our listeners, it's important to understand how existing controls in the banks are working in most of the cases. Those controls were installed about 20 years ago, 15 years ago, and they work by running rules, thresholds, signatures, models that are based on historical analysis of situation. So, for example, if your salary is $100,000 and you have an additional $100,000 in your saving account, but you write a check of $1 million, probably it's a fraud. And of course, the systems are more sophisticated. If you run one, if you try to use 100,000 checks, each one is $10, the system will catch you. But these attacks, when we talked about the creativity that are happening right now, they are totally, totally different from what happened in the last 20 years. So existing systems that currently are in the banks looking for known attacks cannot deal with unknown unknowns. And that's one of the reasons why, in spite of the fact that the technology is there and people are smart, there is a lot of experience. Actually, these guys managed to do it. Just to give you an interesting statistics, on average, it takes four months to build a new rule for a bank or a new model. It takes, on average, 4 seconds to find a way to circumvent this rule.
Right. Is that true for just the largest banks, or the smaller ones can be more nimble?
No, it's actually true for large banks and small banks, because the systems that are based on historical knowledge and understanding of the situation, they always will be limited. By the way, they're not bad systems. They're very good against sort of the classic traditional attacks. But for new attacks, the unknown attacks, we need a new type of solutions. Of course, Tetra is one of the companies that provide this solution, but we're not the only one. And we all know that today, we teach our kids that the real threat is coming from the places that you don't expect the threat to come. And that's what's happening right now. So, you know, we all deal with the COVID-19 health situations, and we don't expect the bad guys to abuse it to sort of steal money from us, but it's happening more than before.
That's a really good, can I ask you, so you mentioned earlier that phishing is one of the tactics that these criminals use. I personally get a lot of emails from companies that maybe I bought a t-shirt from 2 years ago, right? Giving me their updates on their response to COVID-19. What is your take on whether this sort of communication from every vendor that you've liaised with, and whether that would lead to maybe an increase of maybe phishing attacks, or just people sort of clicking on links from emails they get because they want to be a place of what's going on? Is it a good policy? Is it a good thing to do for companies to email you constantly about what they're doing to address the virus, even if it's, say, a t-shirt company? Or in my case, like, why is MLB emailing me about their COVID-19 measures, right?
Yeah, so I will sort of divide your question into two. First of all, you know, it's good to keep relationship with the customers and let them know what's going on, as long as, you know, they respect our privacy and allow us to unsubscribe. But the phishing actually is a general tactic. It's very interesting to touch on because people should be aware, because they will start getting phishing messages not only from companies that you bought t-shirts from, but you will start getting phishing messages from your colleagues that will ask you to do something. For example, I just forgot my password, or my VPN is not working, or can you remind me, like, how much did you pay for this and that, and what was the shipping address? I'm as a CEO constantly getting reports that my employees getting messages about me asking them to transfer a certain amount of money to certain places. Now, why it's becoming more successful these days? Because people are not in the same place. So the hassle of trying to catch somebody and validate it, understand what's going on, it's not as easy as it was before. And the bad guys definitely abusing this situation, because the physical approach that I will just come to bump into your room and ask you, like, did you send me this email, do not exist. Very carefully craft it and make it very believable. And anyway, now, because everything is online and we're not at the working from home, everything is based on emails, they will sort of jump on this bandwagon of you getting a lot of emails, and if you don't pay attention, you make a mistake. Or sometimes they will send you an email, maybe would like to refund something, or we decided to give you a discount. You know, we understand that it's a COVID-19 situation, you bought your t-shirt, but actually we do propose you 50% discount on this t-shirt because we understand that the situation is difficult, so just come in and remind me what credit card did you use so we can refund you 50%. So that, and obviously historically, you could say, they would tell you, you know, if you would like to refund your t-shirt, you can come to the shop and refund it. Now they will tell you, you know, we cannot refund it, we understand, but if we will, if you give us your financial information, we'll refund you the amount, and then people do it.
Ah, interesting.
And again, it's much more difficult to identify. Now, one thing that is also worth mentioning, and again, that creates a need for sort of automatic detection systems, almost like digital guards or digital police, is that there is a belief among people that all those activities, like phishing emails, we see less of a ransomware these days, thanks God. But all this is done by a large group of hackers that literally send you the emails, expect you, if it's ransomware, to give you amount of a Bitcoin so they can send you the release. A password, or if it's a phishing email, then there is an actual person sending you a phishing email, getting your response, engage in some sort of a dialogue with you, getting your security information, you know, then use this information to get to a bank account and basically to steal money from a bank account. In reality, that's not the situation. In reality, it's probably one or two people that run software that does it all automatically. The only thing they need to do is to be creative in crafting it. Unfortunately, in my line of business, we have to see what's going on the dark web. For 200 euros, usually you pay in euros or bitcoins, not in dollars, you can list an amazing phishing campaign system for a month. It will do everything for you. It will it actually has its own CRM. So it will make sure that a client or a victim will not get too many emails from different people. and it will manage the emails. It will tell you if there's somebody read the email. It will manage the ability to answer and will provide you an ability to sort of provide automatic answers. If it runs well, a ransomware, it will autonomously ask a release code, send a release code, credit your bank account if you're a hacker. Of course, they will take 30% commission on that. And as I said, and it will have a customer care department so you can call if the system doesn't work.
That's amazing. So, it's like Salesforce for criminals.
Actually, it's interesting. I mentioned it. I didn't want to promote Salesforce, although I love Mark Benioff. But I've seen it. It's not in English. I don't want to mention the language. But it looks exactly like Salesforce. I think they just took the entire user interface and copied it.
So the Russian Salesforce.
No comment.
So what do you recommend or some common things that you see that banks could be doing?
Definitely. So what we see that really works for financial institutions is that, A, of course, something that they do very well, which is sending emails and educating the consumers. U.S. Department of Justice has a beautiful page about coronavirus and a great guidance and report for individuals, how to deal with it. Fintechs, I think that they need to be much more proactive these days. I believe that consumers expect financial institutions that provide provide them with accounting, account services and keep their money to protect them. And today there are actually tools that are really good tools that uses artificial intelligence. And, you know, the best way is to fight fire with fire. Again, just to give you a quick example of the system that's similar to ours, I mentioned it was developed by Professor Koifman from Yale, you know, 20 years on the advisory board of DARPA. He actually got this, got a Clinton presidential award for excellence in science. And another professor from TG Boston Center of Excellence of IBM, Professor Averbuch. And they developed a way to analyze the data and basically think about many parameters, compare them, and identify criminal activities. Almost like, you know, we human beings, we, in many cases, when we see something weird, we as human beings understand that something wrong is going on. Like if you drive a car and suddenly you hear the weird noise, you know that something wrong is going on, even though you might not be an expert in mechanical engineering. Computers in the past couldn't do it. You had to tell them what to do. It was like machine learning. You had to teach the computers what to do. Today, there are technologies and actually pretty mature technologies that allows computers to develop their own quote-unquote common sense or gut feeling about this type of events because they're ever-changing. And banks that deploy this type of systems are very effective in finding systemic events. So they might miss one or two, but it's when it's 100 or 100,000, they will definitely catch it, alert their customers, and allow them to be more protected. And I think that following COVID-19, people will understand that remote connection is not as bad as it sounded before. I think that they will see more fintechs actually enjoying the fact that they can do it almost like branchless. And on one hand, it will provide much better ability for people to conduct financial transactions. It will be much easier. You can do it from home. But on the other hand, it will increase threats and the amount of crime even further. And that's why I think it's so important to install systems that will be able automatically to detect this type of event.
Oh, so something more dynamic and responsive to the environment rather than fixed rules. And that's what Theta Ray focuses in on?
Yes, absolutely. So it's something that is much more dynamic, much more autonomous. It's almost like bringing somebody who's been investigating criminal activities for the last 30 years, and this person will not know how to look for new crimes, but he will say, will feel that something doesn't look right. So it's basically bringing artificial intelligence, because that's the only way we can do it, or what we call artificial intuition, to analyze those transactions constantly and identify them. And you know, and it's always building up, like it's very rare that somebody will just jump in, steal your money and disappear. Usually there are some activities that are happening, some phishing event, some luring into your information, trying to hack into your bank account. So systems that are computerized systems can easily catch it. And that's what we do at Theta Ray. So we build those systems, we install them in a bank or on a cloud, and we do it together with the Microsoft, and today it's actually much easier for banks to install systems on the cloud, of course. But basically, we install those systems, they analyze the transaction transparently, and if something happens, it alerts the banks and says, look, you should look at it, this is something severe, take care of it. And I think we'll need to see more and more of those systems, and I think that's the time where artificial intelligence should come and really help us to be better protected.
Yeah, it's really interesting, the new applications that AI is being used for, but it is definitely a dual use type of technology. It's on the offense and the defense side. We talked a little while ago about deep fakes and how they could copy someone's voice using AI. Somebody used that to call an office and request a wire from some operations manager in a different country. And the company sent the wire. It was a fraudulent activity. They were using a deep fake voice to make it sound like a manager there within that company. What other technologies do you see that are kind of just around the corner that will really, in AI, that will impact security?
Absolutely. And actually, it's so great that you've brought it, because AI is not only us, it's actually bad guys, and they use AI extensively. So let me give you an example of a case that we recently found. It was terrorist funding, literally thousands, if not tens of thousands of people financing ISIS in this case, donating small amounts of money, $10, 11 Swiss francs, 12 euros. And of course, banks couldn't catch it. But when we looked deeper into it, it was very interesting. They were actually getting messages, Telegram messages, with actual sums that they need to transfer. The messages were created by artificial intelligence. And the messages were always below the radar, below the sort of rule that the banks were using, always circumventing existing controls. And the system actually managed it in a way that would be impossible to catch. In this particular case, by the way, one of the triggers, I should call, or one of the ways banks try to identify what's normal and what's not is using what they call moving average. So in this case, actually, the machine was sending demands to increase an amount a little bit time after time, so the moving average will go up and they will be able to launder more money faster. And then the story didn't stop, because historically, at the end of the day, you have an account with a lot of money and you need to somehow take this money out. Basically, because everything was computer-based and because everything was remote, they could open many accounts in a bank, split the money among many accounts, they call it mule accounts, and transfer the money. Now, of course, manually, it can be done manually, but it's a huge amount of work. But in this case, computers were managing it totally automatically. And I think this is a very good example of another discussion about AI. Many people ask us, you bring artificial intelligence, like intuition, common sense, ability to catch criminals. Bad guys have been using AI for a while. They will be using artificial intelligence to cause damage to us. So I do believe that we need machines. It will be almost like digital guards for us and will help us to deal with these bad guys and make, this cyber domain a much safer place.
Yeah, these are really bad people and they're hurting a lot of innocent people. But I do have to grudgingly admire the creativity and the effort that they put into doing these awful things. You mentioned how they can create a system that knows how to evade the rules. Do you think, or do you have any evidence or history where these are former bank employees?
There are many reasons, and we can discuss those reasons, but you're absolutely right. When we go to the dark web, we can find rules that have been implemented in many banks. Now, it can be rogue bank employees. It can be criminals that bribe bank employees to disclose those rules. It can be people that work for companies that provide a secure solution. But that's one of the biggest disadvantages of rule-based systems. At the end of the day, you can definitely find the rule, and once you know the rule, you can overcome it. And it's very different from artificial intuition in our case, where you can find out how a system is working. It won't help you because the system will adapt itself to others' behavior. But you're absolutely right. And by the way, if you can do enough trials, you can actually analyze the system and find out what tool the system is using. It's like in old days of cybersecurity where people were sort of attacking organizations just to penetrate them. They will do what they call penetration testing or denial of service attack. If you send enough, if you try it enough times, you will understand how to map the system. Now, because again, today the fraud is not really done by people. It's done by systems that people operate. It's very easy, even if you don't know about specific rule, if the rule was changed, you can do it automatically. You can do it 10, 20, 20,000 times a day, and then you will find and map the rule.
Right, just kind of map it out, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fascinating. Is there anything that bank consumers can do to make sure that their stuff is safe in the middle of this crisis, and also just going forward, say, you know, when this is all over, 1-2 years from now?
Of course, all the regular rules that we teach people, like don't take cookies from strangers. If you get email from a bank, don't assume that only bank knows your social security number or other information. People don't usually steal this information just to send your annoying emails. They use this information to make money out of it. So pay attention. If you're getting COVID-19 related messages, make sure that you're aware of it and you validate it. If somebody send you messages from a bank, for example, your account being locked due to COVID-19 situation, you need to identify it immediately, otherwise you will not be able to withdraw money. One of the things that we see, and obviously when you try to unlock it, they ask for private information. Double check it, go to the website of the bank, find the number for customer success. Don't use the link that they sent to you. So if you get an email from Wells Fargo, don't push the button, because somebody can impersonate the email. You will think that it's coming from Wells Fargo. Get out of your email, make a little effort, go to your web browser, go to the Wells Fargo website, find customer care number or customer service number, call them, ask them if they really sent you this email. Be much more proactive and much more cautious these days. But the situation is much more than that, much worse than that. It's people that bank employees that actually not in the bank. It's a situation where the only way for you to communicate with the bank is using email and online communication. So that's another reason to be much more careful with the current situation.
So your company operates on a global basis. I'm wondering, do you see any difference between how banks approach security on a geographic level? So are American banks better at this than, say, European banks or Israeli banks, or are they pretty much on the same boat across the board?
So the threats are everywhere, although I can tell you that it's more of a question of awareness. Since you mentioned Israeli banks, the situation in Israel is a bit different. The bank's been attacked all the time. You know, Israel is a very nice country, but the neighborhood is tough, and Israeli banks are probably among the most attacked banks in the world. So the awareness there is extremely high. I think that historically European banks were more aware of the situation because of the diversity Europe has. You have Western Europe and you have Eastern Europe, and you have people coming from different countries, different languages. So the level of crime was higher. For example, not long ago, over $1 billion have been stolen from ATMs all over Europe by using cybersecurity attack and just making the ATM sort of jackpot the money. In the US, the situation was better. I think that US banks were more relaxed. Now they're taking the same precautions. But as a general practice, I think people in the United States feel the situation is safer initially. But then, obviously, you know, the world is connected, it's global, and eventually, like with COVID-19 situation, it reaches everybody.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, and I really, really enjoy this podcast. It's really great. And, you know, if there is one message I sort of want to leave people is that, you know, this is my fifth company. I've been doing it for a while, fighting the bad guys. This movie always has a happy end. I don't know if it's because there are more good people than bad people, because we both have access to technology. But somehow, long term, the good guys always win. And since we are among the good guys, I think we are on the right side of the history. And, you know, it's a great pleasure to be any situation where we make the world of, this crazy world of digital devices and IoT devices and autonomous payment devices and people and computer systems much, much safer world.
Yeah, well, we definitely wish you all the luck in the world through your efforts and through Theta Ray. So I appreciate that. And I appreciate you joining us on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
That was Mark Gazit, a cybersecurity expert and CEO of Theta Ray, a cybersecurity and big data analytics company. Please hit subscribe to keep up with the latest in fintech news. And be careful out there and wash your hands.
Thanks. We'll be right back.